And we're back. It's Message in the Bottle, brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street, Bangor, where you're likely to see Posh just pop in.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Absolutely. What they really, really want is more Rich Kimball and more cowbell.
Oh, yes.
Carrie is disgusted. It's like this or Rammstein. There it is.
Oh, yes.
It's the, yeah, I got to change things up. I'll Carrie's explain.
Like, I liked Austrian death metal.
I know. We'll get back to that. You know me. This is going to be a surprise to everybody who knows me, but I'm not a huge Spice Girls fan, but it came to me when, you know, our topic today, which we'll get to in a second, the term wannabe. And I was like, oh, well, isn't there a famous song? And oh, it was the Spice Girls that did Wannabe, but that's, you know, you got to stick with your gut.
No, it is what it is. It's summertime.
Yeah. It's summertime. That's what next. All right. I don't even care what the theme is next week. Now we're doing Will Smith Summertime, which is absolutely a great jam. Why wannabe? So, we're doing our world tour. It's a new month, so it's a new part of the world tour. This month we're doing the Iberian Peninsula. For those of you unfamiliar with the Iberian Peninsula, it's Spain and Portugal. It's a grandiose sounding thing, but it's basically just that big spit of land that comes off of France and is divided in two, but not equally. So towards the end of the month we'll talk about Portugal, but we're going to start by talking about varying parts of Spain. And we're starting today with the home of a myth I sort of wanted to dispel, which is the wannabe version of Champagne, which is Cava, and the region is Catalonia. So what is Catalonia, and where is Catalonia, and what is Cava, and all that nonsense? So since we were in France, we dropped south. Whether you go along the Mediterranean Sea and along that coastline, or whether you're on the Atlantic, basically south of Bordeaux and Gascony and into the Basque country, and then turning that corner. Those are the only two ways into Spain. The rest of that passage is the Pyrenees Mountains. They are not uncrossable, as there is actually a little country in itself up in the passage of the Pyrenees. Far too high in elevation to do any wine growing, so we don't really talk about it in the wine world. But the Pyrenees essentially stopped most of the waves of anybody trying to cross them easily. So people either, you know, you go the path of least resistance, right? So so you're going basically along a coastline. And the coastline we're going to talk about today is the one on the Mediterranean Sea. So you're in the Languedoc and around the city of Montpellier, which is sort of the central coast, and you're going south, and you would have at that point entered at several points varying borders and provinces and kingdoms, because it was such a highly traveled area. It had a lot of waves of conquerors and varying kings, monarchs, religious entities, all sorts of things claiming the borders over the centuries. And so you have this idea of a region not necessarily French, not necessarily Spain, Spanish rather, not Moorish. Of course, the Moors were heavily involved in much of, you know, the Iberian Peninsula. Not necessarily...
It's Moops.
Moops. Romans, obviously, it's no surprise to anyone that they brought grapes first to this region as they brought it to everywhere else. But this distinct region that is known as Catalonia, it has its own dialect. If you've ever been to that part of the region, especially, you know, Barcelona is obviously a major, major city, the major city in Catalonia. If you ever go, and my wife and I were there on our honeymoon, you go to a museum or something and you have some facility with the Romance languages and you're reading the little placards next to everything and you realize that the first language looks familiar, but you have no idea what it's saying. It's Catalan. It's not Spanish, even though you instinctively think it might be. It is a very, very distinct subculture, and subsequently, the winemaking is different than other parts of Spain. Even though you do see some similar varieties now having drifted back and forth, it really is its own distinct thing. And it has been oppressed time and time again. The latest guy to oppress it was the dictator Franco. So Franco, it's a really pathetic sort of story, but he was a general in the Spanish Civil War. He was a monarchist. By the time the Civil War was ended, he was the only general left alive. Like, way to go, Darwin, I guess. And he seized power, and until 1975, at his death, he held Spain under an iron fist, and certainly tried to oppress any sort of sense of individuality, and subsequently, as other parts of Spain, he really quashed Catalan ideals. So, and that's something to keep in mind as we talk about Spain and then again Portugal over the next couple of weeks, is that dictatorship lasting from the late 30s until 1975 has had, you know, a profound effect on not just the wine world in Spain and Portugal, but basically the entire economy. And so it has recovered, but there have been, you know, tricky spots. So just, this is something to keep in the back of your mind. The main wine product of Catalonia, as I mentioned, is cava. What is cava, and why is it a wannabe, right? Referring back to the fabulous Spice Girls song of earlier. Cava is a sparkling wine. It is made in exactly the same style as champagne. And it is made with, there's a lot of grapes allowable, one of the grapes that you can use is Chardonnay. The native varietals, however, that make cava much more interesting and far more than just some, you know, I wish I was champagne, is that you can use grapes called Macabeo, Pareada, and Charello. And these grapes are extraordinarily diverse, very interesting grapes. They add different aspects to the varying wines that they're incorporated into. They also make still versions of these grapes, and those are also worth checking out. But the thing that makes cava so wonderful is that it is made in exactly the same style, which is a very labor-intensive style, which is why ultimately champagne and some of these other sparkling wines are a little more expensive than your average still wine. It's a long process. It has been made a little easier by some machinery, but a lot of places still do it the old-fashioned way, by hand. A great process. It's sort of a deal of you make still wines, which are very, very acidic. They're the base wines, and then you blend them to achieve a house style, or in case it's a vintage wine, you're doing certain things. And then you're fermenting in the bottle, and then you're doing what we call a disgorgement to try and get that yeast out of the bottle from fermentation in the bottle. And then you add what's called a dosage before capping it and sending it out into the world. The wine we're drinking today actually is a Brut Nature, which has zero sugar put in the dosage. The dosage merely is a little more of that still wine to fill up where the yeast came out in disgorgement. So it's a little bit drier than some of your other cavas. But cava is very, very diverse. There's a lot of cavas that are as expensive as some of the champagnes in the world. They are absolutely worth checking out, because even though they may seem like they're pricey for what they are, there's a lot of champagne, you know, high-end champagnes that go far, far higher. So you can get a really, really superior product for, you know, upwards of, you know, 30, 40, 60, 80 bucks, and you're getting some of the best juice in the world. There's a lot of push in that region for organic practices, the wine we're drinking today is actually done biodynamically. Biodynamics, if you'll recall, is a system of agriculture that we talked about, which is not only organic, but is also planting according with the cycles of the planets, and treating the entire estate as sort of a whole in terms of health. Really, healthful wines coming out of there, delicious wines. And as I said, there are also a lot of other intrinsically Catalonian grapes and farming practices. There's a wonderful red grape called Trepat, which you don't find anywhere else in the world. And that has a little bit of tannic weight. Very, very cool. And you see that sometimes put into rosé cavas, sometimes vinified on its own. As I mentioned, you do see some of the international varietals. You see Chardonnays, you see Pinot Noirs. But it's really the strength of the native varietals and the uniqueness of this region that, that kind of carries the day. If you ever have opportunity to get out there, the most obvious way is that you're going to be in Barcelona. So the main focal point of the cava industry, and I should back up, people think that they don't necessarily know the name, you know, or know cava as like an everyday product, I suppose. But the name's Freixenet, which is a Catalan name, so I'm going to try to spell it. It's Freixenet, I believe. Freixenet, so very Catalan name. And then the other one, which I'm completely blanking on. But there's this city called Saint-Sadurnoy de Tournu. Oh my gosh, I'm having one of those days. And basically you go to this this town, and it's just this monolithic square with all these large-scale cava producers sort of staring each other down over it. But as you get out into the countryside, so if you're, again, if you're in Barcelona and you want to, like, rent a car, it's real easy to get out to these places. It's the only trick, I suppose, you might have is the language barrier, but that's okay. You know, go out and meet these folks. You'll probably learn a lot about a different culture other than the Spanish subculture. So really quick, I'm going to have a sip of this cava because my mouth is parched.
Mm, it's very good.
Isn't it good? It's also, by the way, cava. I've been remiss. It just occurred to me we should pour one out for our homie, the groundhog. Sorry. That was a very emotional farewell, by the way. It touched me.
To you, Randall.
Randall Flagg, R.I.P. I've never poured one out for a groundhog before. It's good.
You've never known a Randall before.
I've never had the opportunity.
He was special.
Cool. I have no. How much time do I have?
A couple of days.
I'm losing track.
Time stands still.
Absolutely. So, what am I forgetting? The other things. I knew there was two really important parts of Catalonia that I hadn't touched on yet. Speaking of still wines. There's a rather impressive wine region further out from the cava region, which is called, there's two regions, and they kind of surround each other like a big hug or a horseshoe around a marble or something like that, eh? So it's the region of Priorat, which is the inward, extraordinarily steep hills that are full of granite and full of crosses because of vineyard workers who have fallen. It's an absolutely dizzying drive. I did not handle it well. I don't do that. But and then surrounding it is the region of Mont-Saint. So very, very similar grapes, and these are more of the international grapes. So this is where you get like Grenache, the grape they called Mazuelo, which is Carignan. You do see some Syrah. And these reds are much more of the things that have, especially from Priorat, the things that have gained attention of people like Robert Parker and other, you know, they're beefier, bigger reds. You do see some less expensive Priorats now because, frankly, they need to make some money because the real Priorats tend to cost like 50, 80 bucks more. But they're really, really impressive, bold reds. So if you're, you know, grilling or something, want something like that, check that out. The region of Mont-Saint, which surrounds it, very, very different soil type, tends to be a little bit more feminine style wines. In fact, the my friend Chris, who's the wine importer that's actually been on this very radio show, was mentioning that it's most closely akin to Beaujolais, the granitic soils of Mont-Saint. So the same sort of grapes, but a more sort of supple style. If any of you have been in the store and had the what we call the snowflake wine, which is the Conblau, very, very excellent example of that style. So my apologies for totally blanking out, but frankly, I'm getting lobster tonight, and that is entirely where my mind is, because lobster will kill my wife, and she's off on Deer Isle with friends. So
I have to say, just briefly, yes. I stopped in the other day, got some greens.
Yeah.
Oh my God, some Novio's Bistro greens and the basil.
The basil. It smells so good in that store.
So good.
And apparently tomatoes are on the way. So.
Oh my goodness.
That's right. Thank you for mentioning that. You're welcome. Come on into the store. We'll see you there.
And tasting coming up on the 18th.
On the 18th.